Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Now, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus your attention and our energies on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And we're glad to be back. I did take Labor Day weekend off, which I usually don't do. I'm not a big fan of labor. I mean organized labor. So I hate to respect their holiday. But there were a couple of factors that came together. And, the first, I don't even know if I want to admit it in public. Maybe I won't admit it in public. No, I'll admit it. This isn't public. This is just us. I'll admit that, yes, I still haven't recovered from the Philadelphia Eagles cutting Tim Tebow. And at the time when I heard that it had happened, not only was I stressed out from cleaning up after the filthy hippies who destroyed the rental house. By the way, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, in the words of Gerald R. Ford, our long national nightmare is over. Yeah, it's at least the rehabbing of the house. And I'm hoping to make a connection after the show today that would actually result in renting out the house that was previously destroyed and has now been, it has risen like a phoenix from the ashes. We may actually get it rented out. It could happen tomorrow, which means I would lose the pool. I would lose the bet that our house would not be rented out before Hillary Clinton suspended her campaign. And it appears, despite the obvious writing on the wall, that's obvious to everyone, anyone who's a thinking, living, sentient human being, that Hillary should suspend her campaign and just get out. That she will probably continue to campaign beyond tomorrow. And if the potential renter will take the deal, we're going to take the deal. Okay? That's all. Oh, now, back to that. Okay, so you know what? I think I'm over my Tim Tebow depression. With that right there, that helped. Just getting it out there and letting other people know and share in my suffering. So now, in what I had hoped to do was to be able to report on Tim Tebow on Into the Future, building hospitals, preaching the gospel, leading people to the Lord, and playing football in the NFL. But now it's just the football part in the NFL that will be left out. What are the Philadelphia Eagles thinking about cutting Tim Tebow? Did anyone even know they had a football team? I thought they had folded in the 70s. Anyways, what's done is done, and we'll just have to watch Tim build hospitals and help heal children and preach the gospel. And no, I won't watch ESPN. I'm sorry. Number one, I'm not interested in the SEC. Number two, I'm not interested in college football. Number three, I'm not really interested in football. Oh, no, here we go. It had to come to this, didn't it? All right, that's enough of that. I told you, I'm over it. I'm over it. I said that's enough of that. I am over it. Let's... He said, he was extremely attractive. Audio engineer. All right. In fact, let's go back to the house rental situation, which if any of you have been blessed to have a rental... it's a blessing and a curse. But I would like to read an email we got over this past week when we put the house up on the market. Dear Doug, hello. My name is Edward. I wanted to know if you guys were grow friendly. Grow friendly. Okay, now for those of you outside of Colorado, what's that?
Growing children?
Yeah, we're happy if you're growing children. For those of you outside of Colorado, you may not realize that there's a green gold rush going on. Various losers, saps, and dope dealers are coming here from around the country, renting out suburban homes and growing vast quantities of extremely high-potency marijuana, and then selling them to the innocent general public. I guess they're not innocent. I shouldn't say it. But they're selling it, right? It's legal. So he asks first if, are you grow friendly? Now, before you answer, he says, as if expecting some sort of pushback. Now, before you answer, I am willing to pay an extra $200 or $300 per month for rent. Also, I will pay 3 months in advance and the deposit. I work for a renovation company, and then he gives the name of the company. I should call his boss. Hey,
it's illegal.
Not in Nebraska. He says this. I work for a renovation company in Nebraska, and then he gives the name of it, so I can check him out, I guess. I should call his boss. So he says, I work for a rental company, so you don't have to worry about the damage to the house. Basically, I'm going to tear your house up because I'm going to turn it into an industrial marijuana farm, but we'll fix it. My lawyer, he has a lawyer, of course. There's a lot of lawyers involved in the marijuana trade, trust me. He says, my lawyer, then he gives the lawyer's name. My lawyer can also write up a contract, R-I-G-H-T, write up a contract to keep me legally responsible for any damages or anything not up to your standards. Thank you for your time sent from my iPhone. So I sent this to my extremely attractive audio engineer. Yeah, just to test her, to see if she could be lured by the dirty money. You remember, right? Dope, we don't do that. We don't deal in dope. It's a dirty business. Anyway, she passed the test. She even quoted, I believe it was Matthew. She sent me back a Bible verse saying it was better. I believe it was it the millstone verse? I can't recall. Anyway, what's that? You don't want to say what Bible verse? What are you, Donald Trump? You don't know any Bible verses? I'm just kidding. It was Matthew 18. Anyway, I didn't make the reference. But anyway, that's beside the point. She passed the test.
You should say it.
What? The verse? Oh, I would have to go look it up. Hold on. Hold on. And of course, thanks to modern technology, I am able to look it up. It was Matthew 18:7 that my extremely attractive audio engineer sent back to me in a reply. Matthew 18:7. Warning, 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 Will Robinson. There are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to censor anyone who would ever even consider mentioning a Bible verse in public. Well, this fair notice, this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. I haven't given the warning in a while. So there, I believe we meet FCC standards now, and we can quote the Bible, Matthew 18:7. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. All right. Anyway, so she passed the test, and we're not going to take up the dope dealers on his $200 or $300 rent extra. What does he think I'm going to say? I'm not going to take him up on his $300 a month extra. Not $200 or $300 a month? Okay. Anyone who takes you up on that deal will ask for $300, trust me. All right, but we're not going to participate. But so that was the ironic email. Let's see. Now, there's something else I wanted to mention before we get to the news of the day. Oh, well, there was the other confluence of events that occurred, ladies and gentlemen, was I watched the Fox News whitewash of the Center for Medical Progress Planned Parenthood expose videos. Did you see this? 2 weeks ago Friday, Fox News, our favorite transgendered reporter, Megyn Kelly, hosted a special on the Center for Medical Progress expose videos of how Planned Parenthood chops up babies and then sells their parts. Let's see. The problem was I sent this email out to 20 conservatives and nobody responded, so I figured I was overreacting, and I had to just check myself, and I thought, okay, I can't go on the air because I'm going to say something outrageous, maybe that no one else agrees with, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now because I watched it with my own eyes and I'm not an idiot, okay? It was a total whitewash. All the Fox News reporters and the hacks from the pro-life industry, they all were sure to use the term fetal tissue when they were referring, in fact, to dead babies and their body parts that were being chopped up and shipped around the country for money. They called it fetal tissue. Every Fox News reporter, every industry hack who was, by the way, those of you who may not be initiated, the pro-life industry is the industry that has grown up around the pro-life issue that makes millions of dollars bamboozling Christians into thinking they're fighting abortion when actually they just regulate abortion and make a handsome living doing it. And it disgusts me. And they were on that show. The program was disgusting. It focused not on the horror of chopping up babies and selling their parts. Megyn Kelly, she barely flared a nostril at that one. But they focused instead on Planned Parenthood and how they may be guilty of breaking the well-established rules regarding killing babies and harvesting their organs. Yes, those of you who may not be initiated, there are rules for chopping up babies and selling their parts. And the pro-life industry helped write those rules. And the congressman that the pro-life industry bamboozled Christians into electing helped write the rules for chopping up babies and selling their parts. We have rules. In my opinion, with the Fox News reports, I think it was called Fox News Reports, 2 weeks ago, Friday. In my opinion, the industry hacks have haplessly, maybe not haplessly, purposely maybe even, allowed the outrage of the considerable Fox News viewing audience to be hijacked and redirected toward outrage over violations of the industry's rules. The rules they wrote for killing children and consuming their bodies in the marketplace. I am so depressed that Lila Rose's friend David DeLayden got mixed up with Troy Newman. I cannot tell you how depressed I am. I so much wish he would have called or been involved with someone on the personhood side of the argument instead of joining the regulators and squandering a golden opportunity to expose Planned Parenthood for the horrible, deceitful murderers that they are. So anyway, I wasn't sure if maybe I had misinterpreted because nobody responded. I sent it to at least 20 high-profile conservatives. Not a single person responded to me. And I know everybody's busy. They're probably just busy, whatever. Who watches Fox News anyways? All right, so I got the Tebow depression off my back. I got the whitewash out. I said it. Let me see here. I just want to say, Kim Davis is the elected official, I forget what she is, a county clerk or something in Kentucky. She has been refusing to grant homosexual marriage licenses to homosexuals, obviously. She didn't issue them to anyone, and I was worried about that, and so I got in touch with some people who are in touch with Kim Davis, let me just put it that way. And I had printed out the email, but I don't have it here, but I think I can remember what I said. I basically said to people who may be giving legal advice to Kim Davis that there is no legalistic out for Kim Davis. She has three choices only when she goes back to work on Monday. She either has to keep fighting, which means possibly going back to jail. She has to resign, which would be honorable. Or she has to sin. If homosexual marriage licenses are processed out of her office while she is the head of that office, I don't care whose name is on it. I don't care how you stamp it. I don't care how you legalistically put yourself at arm's length. You can't split the baby on this one. Kim Davis would be sinning. She would be dishonoring God. And she's just a baby Christian who just got saved. And you people who are giving her advice will be responsible for misleading her into sin. There is no middle ground. There is no other choice. There is no compromise that can be made. Because the fact is that what is at issue here is not the law or the Constitution. It's whether or not Christians should give their consent to sex perverts marrying each other and accelerating one another's descent into eternal damnation. All right, that's right. It's not the Constitution and it's not the law that's at stake here, that's at issue here. It's the destiny of the next generation's souls. And if the next generation is raised believing that sex perverts should be able to marry each other in public and be celebrated, many more souls will be lost. And I have said what I have said, so I cannot be held responsible. And so, and by the way, don't cry me a river over Kim Davis going to jail. I've gone to jail. I've gone to jail for preaching and speaking the truth. And if I could change places with her, I absolutely would. And I'm not just saying that as a politician running for president. I would do it. All right. Let's see here. I think I made clear. Should I address the cyclists? I think I want to address this issue before it gets out of hand, okay? I just want to say to all you spandex-clad cyclists who come out here from the city on the weekends to ride your bicycles, I just want to say to you, and I love bicyclists, by the way. I love riding a bicycle myself. I've done it on a number of occasions, and I enjoy it, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and I know a lot of good people who do it. But riding a bicycle on a narrow county road with a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and no shoulder is, I don't know if it's illegal, but it is not wise, okay? It is not wise, and it is dangerous. I have twice now seen or been involved in incidents where drivers were literally putting their lives at risk because of these cyclists who insist on riding on the road as if they're a car. You're not a car, mister. And I would hate to see you find out that you cannot compete with a motor vehicle. But anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of wonderful cyclists. And see, the Christian thing to do would be to slow down and just get behind the cyclists and just live and let live. The problem is I have a fleshly instinct to clip them with my mirror. And I know that's not the right thing to do. Yeah, or swing the passenger side door open. I mean, it passes through my mind, okay? And I know that's not right. Yeah, you're right. The Christian thing to do is to let them know that you're putting yourself and other people in danger, and please cut it out. I mean, ride on the roads that have a shoulder, for crying out loud. Or better yet, stay in the city with your Starbucks and ride in the bike lanes created by all the hippie losers. Move to Boulder. All right. Now we are going to get to some news, I suppose. I got so much news here, there's no way I can do it all. So fortunately, for those of you who live in the Denver metro area, you will be able to catch me Monday through Wednesday on AM 670 KLT, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, right here in Denver, one of the most powerful radio stations west of the Mississippi, where I will be hosting Bob Enyart Live as he has flown off to England to try to save Europe. Or to at least make an effort and an attempt, and heaven knows they need that. And we appreciate Bob flying to England, the former Great Britain, to try to make inroads with some creationists and some evolutionists, some Christians and some flaming raging heathens. He'll take all comers. And he's also going to do some research on Bible translation. So he's got a busy week in England. And I will be hosting his show Monday through Wednesday this week, and I'll probably get to most of the news that I've observed on that show because, well, we're rapidly running out of time here. And but let's go. Do I want to start in the war file? I was torn as to which news article to pull up first because I have two that are each one deserves opening status. And I think I'm going to start with Bo Bergdahl, U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. He's been promoted to sergeant. He's now facing life in prison. A new charge has been added to the litany of charges against the cowardly traitor and deserter. He's now been charged with misbehavior before the enemy. What's the actual charge here? Do they have? Anyway, this is a charge that has not been used since World War II. And the charge alleges that Bergdahl endangered the safety of troops by walking away and causing the military to launch search and recovery operations. The WorldNet Daily reports that Bo Bergdahl's former military colleagues have alleged he didn't just innocently wander from camp but rather he purposely deserted, and in the course of looking for him, people were killed. And so, of course, Bo Bergdahl should be put to death if he's found guilty. But at least in the adding of this significant charge, we are seeing the iron grip of the Barry Ho administration begin to crack. Now, Barry Ho is not going to be president for life. He is not going to be the dictator. He is going to leave office in the next election, thank heaven. And we're starting to see politicians and military personnel, high-ranking military personnel, position themselves for the fallout of all the criminal acts that Barry has taken part in. You see, they have a strategy. They had to do this with the Clintons because the Clintons committed so many crimes while in office that by the time it was time for him to leave, people were angling and positioning and setting themselves up so they could cover it all up and set up a foundation and pay Bill Clinton billions of dollars and frolic with him on islands with underage women and all of that. And something like that will happen with Barry. But at least this Bo Bergdahl, this charge shows that the military brass, the high brass, are preparing for the death grip of Barry Ho to be released so they can put this bastard in jail forever, or at least for the rest of his natural life, which if I can't get the death penalty, well, I'll take that, I suppose. Now, the Iranian nuclear deal has been signed, and enough Democrats have apparently gotten in line, or at least told Barry that they're in line, that it's going to happen. And in celebration, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader in Iran, has released a new book called Palestine, in which he reveals his regime's plans to conquer America and Israel. I will conquer them. On the back cover, Khamenei is described as the flag bearer of jihad to liberate Jerusalem. Liberate Jerusalem by different definitions, you know, words are important. Their definition of liberating Jerusalem includes annihilating it with a nuclear weapon, just so you know. Breitbart reports that the Iranian tyrant claims that he is not anti-Semitic, but someone grounded in, quote, well-established Islamic principles, which include hating the Jews. That does not make me anti-Semitic. That makes me a good Muslim. He's such a good Muslim that he is the grand supreme leader, the grand Ayatollah Mufti. Let's see. He says that since Jerusalem was once conquered by Muslims, all Muslim land must remain under Muslim rule forever. So they held it, and so they should have it. In Islamic theology, according to Breitbart, the world is divided into Dar al-Islam, the House of Islam, and Dar al-Harb, the House of War. Khamenei says Israel was once part of Dar al-Islam, and of course, where they should. Khamenei details a long-term strategy designed to make life so difficult for Jews in Israel that they are forced to abandon the country, recommending a one-state formula. He has a one-state solution, Palestine, which should be Muslim, and it should rule over all the religious minorities, of the ones that are allowed to live, which will be very few. Again, we've just made a deal with this grand supreme mufti leader to allegedly stop him from getting a nuclear bomb, at least for 10 years, which tick, tick, the clock has been ticking on that. Khamenei then, in the interview, questioned whether a Holocaust ever happened. If there was such a thing, we don't know why it happened, and we don't know how. We weren't involved in any way. The Iranians, the Iraqis, the Syrians, they were all involved in the Holocaust because they turned over their Jews as fast as the Germans could take them in Poland. The Arabs were handing them over in the Holy Land. So there you have it. That's the man we've made the deal with. 10 years is not a long time. I used to think 10 years was a long time. Don't think that anymore. Especially when it comes to Iran getting a nuclear weapon, which Barry has at least is trying to do. And hopefully someone sane will come along and stop it. All right, let's move now from Iran to the sad religion file. A school district in Villarica, Georgia is apparently investigating a plot regarding a mass shooting at a football practice. I've pulled down the story from 11 Alive News in Georgia. A video posted by First Baptist Church in Villarica was shot on school grounds just before football practice. Shot on school grounds. I'm sorry, it wasn't a shooting. It was a mass baptism at a football practice, and the church posted the video of the actual baptism of the actual students. And they put the following caption under the video. We had the privilege of baptizing a bunch of football players and a coach on the field of Villa Rica High School. We did this right before practice. Take a look at how God is still in our schools. It was a mass baptism that just broke out. And I remember, this can happen in the South, folks. I'm telling you, this is Georgia. I went to high school in Texas. And before every football game, we recited the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, actually recited the Lord's Prayer. I mean, I can tell you this. McCamey High School, McCamey, Texas, circa 1985. It was much more likely that a mass baptism would break out than a mass shooting would occur. I can assure you of that. And so which is better? This is sort of a barometer of how is the country doing. Well, now mass baptisms cause outrage. The Carroll County school system is looking into the specifics of the situation, and we will take appropriate steps to ensure all state and federal laws are followed, the district said in a statement, because nobody wanted to stand up and condemn a baptism in Villa Rica, Georgia. Someone would probably throw a shoe at you. Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation was quick to act. They sent a letter to Carroll County. Is this 2 weeks ago? I know I took a week off. This is from September 1st. Anyway, this is recently. They sent a letter asking the school district to, quote, immediately investigate and take action to ensure that there will be no further illegal religious events. And then we're making our voices heard, and we're letting it be known that, all of that. 11 Alive reports that the state of Georgia remains a lightning rod for these kind of cases. A school band in Dublin, Georgia, caught flack a week prior for playing Amazing Grace on the public address system in front of God and everybody. They were playing Amazing Grace. Can you believe it? Last fall, the Madison County School Board voted to remove two Bible verses from a monument to the football team. I think it's okay that the Baptists are celebrating the mass baptism and they say, look, God is still in our schools. Look, we baptized all these kids. But folks, God is not in the schools. He was kicked out in some places in the early 20th century, other places in the mid 20th century. He is not there. There are no good schools. It's an institution that will teach your children they came from nothing. They're going to nothing. They can't really know anything. And the one thing they should make sure of is that they have lots of sex along the way.
God is merciful. God is good. Lord have mercy.
I wish you would.
I am back, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. We're glad to have you here. I had said that God is not in the schools, and it's funny because we have a house up for rent, and people who call about the house, they want to know what's the school, what's the high school, what's the middle school, what's the elementary. So we tell them it's this high school. It's that elementary. Oh, those are good schools. I think that was one of the top three in the district. And I'm thinking it's like there's only three high schools that you could get to within an hour. I mean, okay, I guess it's one of the top three. But we have to bite our tongue because, you know, we want to rent the house out. And there will be time to condemn the public schools with our tenants after they sign the lease agreement, I suppose. And we will make sure of that. But just in case you were wondering about the schools and what's going on, well, let's start with reason number 989 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. For that, we go to Los Angeles County, California. A bill has been introduced by Assemblywoman Cristina Garcia. And this bill would mandate that schools allow the appropriate space and time necessary for student mothers to breastfeed their children on school grounds. These are the topics that the administration is struggling with in the public schools because they have an epidemic of impregnated young girls because the boys are being taught that they came from nothing, they're going to nothing, and that they should just have lots of sex along the way. We have a quote, I think, from Assemblywoman Cristina Garcia. Maybe we have actual video or actual audio. I'm sorry, you're able to roll this actual audio? Here's the quote from Assemblywoman Cristina Garcia. Quote, they have to give up pumping. Pumping is no good for the student. The breast pump is no good. Some of them, they try to pump, and they're trying to do it in a five-minute break in between classes. It's not enough time to pump. And if they are able to pump, they have to do it in the bathroom. That's your child's food. Is that really where you want to be, in the bathroom with the pump? Please give these girls space to feed their babies. Unquote. Oh, no, that was actual audio. I didn't mean to say unquote. That was actual. A very emotional issue for Assemblywoman Garcia there, obviously. But that should be a heads up to you to get or keep your children out of the government schools, for crying out loud. I mean, if you send your daughter there, I mean, you could end up, this could be an issue for you. The breast pumping versus breastfeeding at school. Meanwhile, reason number 990, Maury County School District in Tennessee has issued students an assignment on the five pillars of Islam. One assignment included the translation of the Shahada. They had to write out the Shahada. They had to memorize it, and then they had to say it in front of the class. Are you people familiar with the Shahada? Maybe? By the way, did any of you cancel your Hajj this year? Because I warned you about the MERS, right? The Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And I remember that thinking that some of you may cancel your Hajj this year, some of those in our listening audience. And now we have, well, you had the crane collapse at the Grand Mecca Mosque in, what's it called? The Super Duper Mosque. It's the holiest site in Islam. I mean, you watch the news, you hear about the 12th holiest site, the 3rd holiest site, this site. This is the mosque. I can't recall the name of it. It's the Grand Mosque, the big, the fancy, the one where they try to disinfect the rugs like every decade so it doesn't smell like old feet. Yeah, it's the big mosque. So a crane collapse. I thought that was noteworthy that on September 11th, just as a picture of the Freedom Tower with a beautiful rainbow raising, just rising heavenward, it looked like out of the top of the tower. Just as that's going viral around the world, a storm hits the Grand Mosque, a crane falls and kills 100 Muslims. More than 100, I think, now. Oh, just a sad tragedy. Horrible. Horrible. By the way, the crane was put there a few years ago by the Bin Laden group, which is like Bin Laden's dad, grandpa, uncles, non-extremist types, non-terrorists. But the Bin Laden group, they issued a statement saying, the crane was there for 2 years with no problem. This is obviously an act of God. We have no legal responsibility. This is act of God. Yeah. No, the Muslims are very fatalist. Yes, they are. Very superstitious and very fatalist. But I just thought that was noteworthy, the events that occurred this past September 11th, just a few days ago. In case you weren't watching. But now back to Maury County, Tennessee, where hapless mother Joy Ellis, she's the hapless mother of a seventh grader at Spring Hill Middle School. And she says, hey, Christian children should not be instructed to, like, write the Shahada. I mean, I don't have a problem with the history of Islam being taught, but, like, to go so far as to make my child write out the Shahada, that's unacceptable. To which I say, really, Mom? It's unacceptable. Well, what are you going to do? Because if something's unacceptable and it's happening, and you can reasonably expect that something like it will happen again, you would be expected to take some sort of action. Like maybe getting your kid out of the government school that is destroying her mind. Mom, what are you going to do? So I'm calling out hapless mother Joy Ellis at Spring Hill Middle School to put your money where your mouth is and get your kid out of the school, please, Mom. And I'm calling on all of you to do that as well. Another dim bulb mother of a seventh grade girl, Brandy Porterfield, she complained because of she says there was an overemphasis on Islam to the exclusion of Christianity and Judaism. Yes, she says, quote, it really did like bother me that they like skipped the whole chapter on the rise of like Christianity. And then they spent like 3 weeks just like studying Islam. She said, other parents were also concerned with the school's decision to have children write and recite the Islamic creed. By the way, the Shahada, did I say what it is? There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. That's the Shahada. That's what the maniacs scream before they cut someone's head off. That's what's on the ISIS flag. That's actually on their flag, that black pirate flag that is so terrifying. That's what's on it. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. As they rape and pillage and murder and rape some more and pillage. And your seventh grade student could easily be subject to this. Let's see. Mom number two says she was told that, the class skipped Christianity because it's not required in the state standards. And the teachers only teach to the test. And Tennessee Core does not require Christianity, but it does require Islam, oddly enough. And by the way, Tennessee Core is similar to the National Common Core standards, even though the governor of Tennessee allegedly eliminated Common Core in the face of growing public outrage over Common Core. He eliminated, got rid of it. Got with the legislature. We passed a law to get rid of Common Core. We're going to make sure our schools remain firm and American and under local control. Now, Susie, come on up here and recite the Shahada for us. Anyway, you know what it is? Even these mothers are obviously fairly stupid people. They're morons. They're sending their kids into the lion's den every day, and then they're shocked. But even they are beginning to realize that these politicians who claim that they're doing things for us and helping us, and that they're passing laws to eliminate the things that outrage us, even the stupid people out there are beginning to realize that we've all been lied to. We've all been bamboozled. We've all been duped. They think we're a bunch of idiots, and they've been taking advantage of us. And even the dummies are starting to wake up and realize it. But the district director of schools there in Maury County, Chris Marzak, he defended the curriculum and the Shahada. He said, quote, it is our job as public school system to educate our students on world history. We want them to be ready to compete in a global society. And it is not our job to endorse one religion over another or to indoctrinate anyone. Unquote. That was the, the director of schools. Well, hapless mom number one, she says that Marzak's assurances is unconvincing. She says they're not going over anything else. So for the students to have to memorize this prayer, it does seem like it's an indoctrination. And so hapless mom is offended, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. That was reason number 990. Now we'll move on to 991 to get or keep your kids out. It's gender-neutral bathrooms. That's right. ABC News in San Francisco reports that, hey, the White House has a gender-neutral bathroom, and many schools and private companies have them too. But now, Mira Loma Elementary in San Francisco wants all their bathrooms converted to gender-neutral. That's right. And we have a quote from pedophile Sam Bass. Principal Sam Bass. The principal, Sam Bass, says, quote, we change the signs. We change the way we teach our students. We don't have boys and girls restrooms. We just have restrooms. That was Sam Bass. Yeah. Now, ABC7 reports that some of the bathrooms in the common areas have also been changed. And now, instead of having two stalls inside, there's only one stall, and it's a neutral, gender neutral. Now, when I read that paragraph, I thought, maybe I'm misunderstanding something. How could going from one stall, or how could going from two stalls, implying two toilets, to going to one toilet, how could that be a good thing? Did they leave the two toilets and take out the wall? That's more than neutral. I mean, that's, well, I mean, it's San Francisco. I know they need a lot of room in the bathroom because, I mean, they do other things there than just relieve themselves. But, oh, yeah, let's change the subject. We'll just move on. The changes came about after parents told school officials that their children were not gender specific. The PTA president says, well, they told us that they have children who are on the gender spectrum, which means that they may have been born biologically with one gender, but they identified with a different gender and that they weren't comfortable, like, going to the bathroom. Okay, Miss PTA president, you can't say that they may have been born biologically with one gender. You can only say that they were born biologically with one gender. But in San Francisco and on the PTA and at the Mira Loma School District, there's nothing certain. You may or may not have been born with any specific gender, and we don't know. We can't know anything. We came from nothing. We can't know anything. We're going to nothing, and we're just going to make sure we have lots of sex along the way. And, folks, they hope to have it with your kids. I know you think that's outrageous. It's a hyperbole to say that the teachers would even think that they would want to molest or do anything like that. But that's what this is all about. The gender bending and everything is so that the teachers and the administrators and everyone else involved with the school can molest the children. And eventually they'll do it in public. It'll be part of the class. Let's see. We have one more comment from the PTA teacher. Oh, she said the school system. Oh, when the parents were presented with a new idea, they had lots of questions. Oh, absolutely. There were parents with questions. But more about the logistics than anything else. I haven't heard a single parent say that they didn't like the idea or that they thought it was unnecessary, which proves that what we were trying to do in the 70s and 80s, like brainwash everyone into not knowing anything, obviously we've been very successful. Thank you very much. This proves it. Yes, we did our job. The parents are completely helpless. We have total control. She also says the school is working on ways to accommodate everyone. And by everyone, is it possible that she could mean even the pedophiles? Even the sex perverts? Are we going to accommodate them in the schools? Is it possible that that's what she means? Well, she doesn't want that to be known, but it's definitely what she means. I am Doug McBurney. This is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. So good to have you back. So I just discussed the facts in a comedic fashion, but I implied that the goal of the government schools, the administrators, the teachers, the lawyers and the legislators who write the rules has been to dumb down and make people stupid so that they could be taken advantage of, and that they've obviously accomplished that to some significant degree. And it's been proven out in a new Pew Research Center report They quizzed a representative sample of U.S. adults on geology, physics, astronomy, and other topics. The test had 12 questions, and the great American mind, the gross national product of the government schools over the past generation, answered 7.9 out of 12 questions correctly. That's a score of 66%. So that's a failing grade, at least when I went to school. Yeah, that was an F, a big fat F, 66%. And this was a disastrous quiz, a disastrous report from the Pew Research Center for political correctness. Because not only did it prove that despite the fact that all politicians say that we can trust the American people, they're smart, they know what to do. Well, it proved, number one, that a majority of the American people are in fact stupid. But also, men outscored women and whites did better than Latinos or African Americans, which sent the left into a frenzy. They just couldn't believe it. But it is what it is. What I found the funniest was that one in five Americans, a little over 20%, said that astronomy was, quote, the study of how the position of the stars and planets can influence human behavior. Astronomy. anyway, the correct answer was astrology, but who knows the difference anymore? If you matriculated in the government schools, astronomy may as well be astrology, because the things you were taught about astronomy are fantasies. Let's see here. Do I want to read the statement from the Pew Research Center about climate change and genetically modified crop? No, I could care less about all that claptrap. You're just making people stupid. From the Pew Research Center all the way on down, the whole educational establishment, because they're godless, they're unmoored from reality, and eventually they will drift off into fantasy. And we'll start having like a Greek pantheon again and orgies and vomitariums. I mean, that's where we're headed, folks. It's disgusting. And here's one of the implications of the level of stupidity that has been fostered in the American mind, especially regarding science. We have a report from the Associated Press, McGalliesburg, South Africa. Scientists, this is from the Science Really file, by the way. I didn't introduce that last story properly. That last story was also from the Science Really file, just so you know. They say they've discovered a new member of the human family tree revealed by a huge trove of bones in South Africa in a cave. The creature shows a surprising mix of human-like and more primitive characteristics. Some experts called it bizarre and weird. And the discovery presents some key mysteries. Folks, that sounds like an introduction to a segment of Ancient Aliens. Some ancient alien theorists theorize that perhaps this may... There's a qualifier every other word. And that's the genius of the evil people who are misleading the willfully ignorant, primarily amongst the adults. But the children. Because every couple of years... Every year or two, they put out a story that we found yet another link on the evolutionary chain. We found another transitional. This is half ape and half human. And then everybody reads that article, and all the kids especially, they think, wow, boy, that evolution, they just keep finding all this stuff. And then years later, as these bones, the various bones going all the way back to Nebraska Man, as the bones are analyzed, and they're determined not to have anything to do with anything at all to do with anything to do with the evolutionary tree. Well, nobody reads. There's no headlines. And so they've taken advantage of the relatively stupid American people and the willfully ignorant who are looking for an excuse not to follow the living God and not to assume that, yes, they are going to be held responsible for the actions they take in their life and the things they do to themselves, other people, and to God. There's people just looking for an excuse. So they read this headline and they're like, I'm good. God doesn't exist. Look, they found yet another link on the evolutionary chain. I'm good to go. Anyway, I could go through all the claims that are made in this article, and they make some huge claims about the brain and the shoulders and the hands and the feet and the heads and why we couldn't believe it. Wow. But it's all smoke and mirrors. I don't know what these bones are. Nobody knows what these bones are. Nobody knows how old they are. We will find out, and it'll come out 5 years from now, in a peer-reviewed article, there will be a footnote, oh yeah, all that was fake. All those claims, they turned out to be falsified. The bones were real, but none of the stuff we said was actually true. None of the claim, but then nobody will read that, see? And society will be dumbed down yet another notch. And that's the evil genius of, well, whoever it is, George Soros and whoever he has hired to destroy civilization. All right, I don't want to put too fine on. Now listen to this. Another story that comes to us from the science, really, file. A UK Space Agency research fellow believes that early microscopic forms of life may well have formed on Mars billions and billions and billions of years ago. Yes, that's right. There may have been life, but, he says, a major environmental catastrophic event later made the Red Planet completely inhospitable. He says, quote, by the way, this is, who is this fellow? He's a fellow, no doubt. Lewis Dotcher. I can't pronounce this. Got too many L's. Nobody knows how to spell anymore. All right, so they misspelled his first name in the first paragraph. So I have to go to second paragraph to get his last name. Lewis Dartnell. Lewis Dartnell says, quote, something catastrophic has gone wrong on Mars environmentally. It's catastrophic, you see. It's a catastrophe. So he was speaking during a debate on the search for extraterrestrial intelligent life at the British Science Festival in Bradford University, where we are currently foregoing realistic and meaningful research and searching for aliens. I don't know. They've given up on legitimate research, and they're now looking for spacemen there. But what I find ironic about these Big Bang, Old Earth, Old Universe cosmologists and theorists, ancient alien theorists, if you will, is that they dismiss Noah's flood, which, you know, we Christians say that there was life on Earth, and then there was a catastrophic event that wiped it all out, except for eight souls that God saved on a boat. So we have our catastrophic event. We have one major catastrophic event that took place. But current Big Bang cosmology, to believe in that, I mean, you need about a half dozen more spectacular and unlikely catastrophes to have occurred throughout the universe over the course of billions of years in order for modern Big Bang cosmology to actually work. I was watching Mysteries of the Earth the other night, which I like to watch for just comic relief. And they said, how did the moon form? And how is it that it's so perfectly sized that it's just a perfect distance away? We're so lucky. We're just so lucky. They say that, what was their catastrophe for the moon? A Mars-sized object collided with the Earth, and somehow the Earth survived, and the moon was formed out of the debris from the collision. Ow! And it was spectacular. We're so lucky. So that's just one of the catastrophes. I think just on that one show, there was three different catastrophic events that dwarf Noah's flood. Noah's flood is small compared to the kind of catastrophes that they described in order to form their godless universe. We say God created it. He got mad when people sinned and became evil, and he destroyed it all through a flood. There you go. One catastrophe explains all the fossils, explains the sediment. It explains the seashells on the top of the mountains. We can explain it all. They have to keep adding catastrophes and complexity, and it's just embarrassing. Anyway, Big Bang cosmology will definitely fall out of favor in similar fashion to the Greek pantheon. Let me take a drink of water here. Yes. It'll all be looked back on just like Apollos and Neptune. You know, 1,000 years from now, kids in school will be laughing. They said, what? A Mars-sized object hit the Earth? Give me a break. Are you kidding me? All right, I'm almost out of time, and all the other news I have is extremely depressing. Let me see here. Can I? All right, well, I have one story that might provide maybe Salem, Oregon. By the way, we love Oregon. Go Ducks, right? College football. I want to care about college football. I wouldn't mind watching Tim Tebow on TV, but I can't do it. I just happen to know the Ducks go there, or the Ducks are in Oregon, because I know a couple of guys who, you know, they're Go Ducks. All right. Marion County, Oregon, Judge Vance Day. Well, he has responded to the federal court ruling back in May that that the AP asserts made same-sex marriage legal. Now, here's the thing. A federal court ruling doesn't necessarily make anything legal. It depends on how the legislature, the governor, the president, how they respond to it. But, well, we've all been taught that it does mean it's legal. That whatever the Supreme Court says, it's just the law of the land. It's the law of the land. And someone asked that question to me in an email chain with influential conservatives. And I said, you know, the day that we allowed the Supreme Court to legalize the murder of innocent children, when we decided to abide by that, we, in essence, gave the Supreme Court supreme authority, because we gave them the authority over life or death. And so conservatives are twisting around trying to figure out what constitutional, what, how can we figure out how to fight against this same-sex marriage ruling? It's in the Constitution. We just got to find it. It's not in the Constitution. It's just a spiritual problem. It's not going to be solved in a courtroom, and it's not going to be found in the Constitution. And you're not going to convince the sex pervert murderers to go along with a legal ruling in your favor, Mr. Conservative. It's not going to happen. These are killers and sex perverts, and they're full of blood. I mean, they've been murdering wholesale for a generation. And now their sexual perversion is erupting into just the most disgusting and vile, horrible public display. And that is not going to be solved in court, and that is not something we can compromise with. This is the time to stand, and if it means going to jail or even dying, this is the time, because the hour is very late. So federal court judge Vance Day has instructed his staff to refer homosexuals looking to marry each other to other judges. He says, I will not do it. Last fall, in fact, he decided to stop performing weddings altogether because he was beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He says the principal factor for him stopping issuing from performing weddings was the pressure that he felt he would face to perform homosexual weddings. So he just got out of the wedding business. That's not what this is a time for. This is not a time to retreat. This is a time to draw the line and to put your life, your fortune, your sacred honor where your heart lies. If you believe in God, then you know you're going to be okay, right? In the end, so what can they do? They can kill you. They can kill your body. Who cares? You remain loyal to God. And this is the time when we need brave people to stand up and say, you've gone too far. You will go no further. And in fact, we are going to start pushing you back before you get yourself killed and before you get us all killed, you murderous sex perverts. We're sick of you. We're not going to bow to you. And Judge Vance Day in Marion County, Oregon, has done so. He is being investigated by the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. They're probably going to run him out of his job, but that's the honorable thing to do. You don't compromise with people who will get your children and your grandchildren, they'll get them killed, and they'll separate them from the knowledge of God. If this is allowed to metastasize further throughout our society, there are real lives at stake. There are real souls at stake. And who are you to not put your life on the line when you know what is coming from all of this? So anyway, thank you. We send out our thanks to the Marion County judge. That is Judge Vance Day, for giving us some hope that there are still some people, even though he's not performing any weddings, he's surrendered. Well, I tried to end on an upbeat, folks, but there's just very little out there that's encouraging from the standpoint of the living God and how things are going. And that's what means the most to me. I mean, I want to be entertaining. I want to tell you about the news. I want to keep you informed. But more importantly, I care about the destiny of your eternal soul. And so I will not pull punches when it comes to issues that I truly believe will influence the destiny of your soul, your children's soul, your grandchildren's soul, because that is what really is at issue here. And that is really what is at stake. And with that, I will have to end the show. But I appreciate you listening. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church, at KGOV.com, where you can hear me next week, Monday through Wednesday, 3 o'clock in Denver live. And, of course, it's streamed online worldwide if you do want to catch it. We go worldwide via the World Wide Web. We're unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, but I will be on terrestrial radio AM 670 Monday through Wednesday, filling in for Bob while he tries to save the former Great Britain. And so thanks to my friends at KGOV. Thanks to my friends at American Right to Life, at TheologyOnline.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return in about a week or so. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.